important, and I pray that you will listen to what God says. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, 21. We should know this one pretty good by now. And the issue is, in Romans 1, 21, it talks about people going downhill, but we want to go the opposite. We want to rise up in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I'm here to tell you that can happen to anybody if you do not put God first in your life. God wants to be number one. He is number one, whether we put Him there or not. And He wants to be number one in your life. Amen. Above everything and everyone else. And the people of the world fill themselves with everything you can imagine. There's a million things in this life to fill your life with.
That's right.
But God said He wants to be number one. I want you to turn now to Psalm 119, verse 99. Psalm 119 and verse 99. Now this is a promise of God that He will make to you if you'll do what He asks you to do. And this says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I want you to see this. It's extremely important in your life. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. Now, that is one of the keys to success in life. This can be for every single one of us. I saw this happen in my oldest son. He told me one day, and I've told this story before, but I think it's worth telling again. He came to me one day and he said, I'm running with all my friends I've been running with for years, and they're starting to experiment with marijuana and various things. And he said, I really don't want to get involved in that lifestyle. And so he made a decision. I took him to a Bible conference, and we went every night for 6 days, and then all day the seventh day. And I took him every single night to this Bible conference. And in the Bible conference, they talked about this verse right here. This verse. And when we came home from the last day, he said, I've decided what I want to do. He was a junior in high school, making average grades. And I mean average. Pretty much straight C's straight across the board. And he looked at me and he said, I've decided I want to do something. It was just, school was almost out. He was going to be a junior the next year. And we're going into the summer. And he said, I want to make a vow to God and you. He said, I want to just do this summer. I want to work and I want to be in the scriptures. And I don't want to do anything else the rest of summer. I don't want to be with my friends. I don't want to do any of these things. And he said, and he had learned in the Bible conference I took him to about the book of Proverbs. And so that summer, all he did was work. And he took the book of Proverbs, the whole book, and he categorized it into the various things in Proverbs. And he wrote this all down. He had a book when he was finished. And he did that for the summer. When he went back to school in the fall, he got straight A's all his junior year, all of his senior year, and practically straight A's when he went to college. Before that, the highest he ever got was C's. Because he was in the scriptures, he meditated in the scriptures. The scriptures changed his life. The scriptures, he's pastoring now because of that summer. He's pastoring down in Wichita, Kansas. And it's very simply because that one summer changed his life. He already knew the Lord. He accepted the Lord at 9 years old. And because the church where we were going, I was saved in that church. He was saved in that church. My wife was saved in that church. And my other son was saved in that church. And they talked about salvation and people got saved. I said they talked about salvation and people got saved. You talk about healing and people get healed. When you're talking about it in the concept of the Word of God. The Word of God is the power of God. The Word of God is the light of God. The Word of God is what maintains us and will change us into the image that God wants us to be in. Meditation is very simply this: reading the Word of God, closing your eyes, and thinking about it and seeing that written on the imagination of your heart. That's what it is. It's seeing yourself in that situation. Meditating, seeing the Word of God. The same thing happens when you watch television and when you go to the movies. Whatever you're watching, you'll be thinking about that, and it'll be on your heart.
Right.
So if it's something good, it's gonna bless you. If it's something bad, it's going to curse you. It's just that simple. My sister-in-law has two sons, and she has divided everything in TV. It's either light or it's dark. It's white or it's black. If they start a TV program and they say, oh, this is black, they turn to another one or they shut it off. And that's what you have to do. We have to get in a busy world, in a crowded world, in a world of all this technology, the truth is still in the Word of God, you see. And you'll not get it anyplace else. It'll make you wiser than your teachers. It'll make you wiser than your boss. It'll make you wiser than your instructors or wherever you went to school. You'll be wiser than them because God is wiser than all. And if you have His Word, that's going to make you wiser. So it would be of benefit to us if we got into the Word of God, more important than anything else other than praising the Lord Jesus, and allow that to change our life. If you can see it in your heart, you can experience it in your life, you see. Now, there's two last things here. Now, we've been talking about putting God first. Number one in your life, above everything and everybody, Christ first. Then, secondly, we're talking about being thankful to God, being a thankful person. That's what it's talking about in Romans 1:21. Be thankful. Be thankful for what God does, constantly thanking God for what He does and what He has done in your life. You want to concentrate on those things. Number three, you want to fill your imagination with the things of God. And then the fourth one is actually meditating on the Word of God and seeing that in your heart and then doing it, doing the Word of God. If you don't do it, it's not going to amount to anything. If you don't use it, it's not going to mean anything. One thing God does not want today is professional students in the Word of God that never practice the Word. Some people spend most of their life learning it and never doing it. And imagine what that's going to be like when you stand before the Lord. That's going to be it. You're not going to have anything to say. God said you were supposed to do it. You were supposed to meditate on it. You were supposed to chew it up in your life. You were supposed to take it into yourself and by the power of God use that in your life. Something interesting happened that I don't know if it's ever happened before in my life. I was at the funeral service of Betty White. And I saw a lady there who had a patch over one eye. And she was rather young, and I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. And so I asked somebody about her afterwards, and they told me that she had cancer, and I would guess she's in her 40s, and she had 2 months to live, and the 2 months were almost up. It's very interesting. And that's what they told me. And as I was leaving, she was sitting there in a chair, and it was like God just fixed my eyes on her. Just fixed my eyes on her. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And Grace was there. And I said, I want you to look at this lady. And they said, she only had 2 months to live and it's almost up. And she made every effort she could possibly muster her strength to come to this visitation of Betty White. And so when God fixes your eyes on somebody, particularly somebody that's ill or you know is hurting, you know what that means. It means go and pray for that person. And so I couldn't leave that place without praying for her. Not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a son of God, just like you. And I couldn't leave that place without praying for this lady. But I don't go up and lay hands on somebody and start praying for them. I ask their permission to pray for them, because if you don't have their permission, it's not going to do any good. And so we walked up to her, and there were people all around talking and visiting after the service. And I said, may we pray for you? And she said, yes. I said, what is your name? Her name is Nancy. Put Nancy on your prayer list, okay? And start praying for her today. I didn't know this lady. I knew nothing about her other than what I was told quickly. And so Grace and I laid hands on her and prayed for her. I don't know the results, but I know one result. We did what God told us to do. Are you listening to me? We did what God told us to do. Now that doesn't mean there were probably other sick people there. I have no idea. But God fixed her eyes on that lady. And that means one thing. We're to pray for her. It doesn't make any difference with her pastor, who we are. We are to pray for her. And we did. And when God puts somebody like that on your heart, then you want to make sure you do that. Now, I want you to look at John 14:12. Now, this is a scripture that you should know very well. John chapter 14 and verse 12. And it says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do also. I said, he that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do also. That means she also. That means you. And me. And greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. One of the ways that we know that Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, he said, you'll know when I'm sitting on the right hand of God when the Holy Spirit comes. And so he went up, as you know, into the clouds, the same way he's going to come back the second time. And he went up into the clouds, and they were praying in the upper room, if you remember, and on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, the Spirit of God came and filled them with the Spirit and gave them the power to be witnesses out in the community and eventually into the world. Jesus said, greater things shall you do, because I go to be with my Father. God wants this for you and I. It's kind of interesting. When people come here, they either leave because they don't want to do what God says, or they get filled with the Spirit of God and start doing it. One or the other. This is not a place just to come and sit and say, well, I made my little point for this Sunday and got my pen and now I'm going to go home. You know, that's not the kind of deal it is. The deal here is to do what the Word of God says. That's what we are to do above all things and everything else. You might say, Lord, this says as a believer in you, I will do the same works you did and even greater. Let's pray that together. Lord, this says that as a believer in you, I will do the same works you did, even greater, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a verse that you ought to have in your mind. That's a verse you ought to be written on your heart. It ought to be written in the screen of your life. Jesus said, greater works. I can do the works of Jesus. Not only can I do the works of Jesus, I am supposed to do the works of Jesus. And the only way you do that is get up and do it. If you know, it's interesting, you were talking about, you know, you're not used to getting up and praying for people, but you got up and did it. And that's what you have to do. You have to do it. You have to pray for somebody. You might stumble and bumble with your words and doesn't make a whole lot of sense to anybody, but it does to Jesus. And you have to step out and do these things. And if you do what we're talking about today, God will fill your heart. God will fill your life. He will lead you to the right thing, to the right job, to the right person, to those that are sick, to those that have a need for Christ. He will lead you to it in Jesus' name. You see. You need to see yourself laying hands on people and they're recovering. I don't know what happened to that lady, but I believe that she's blessed with God because of the prayer that God sent me to her. It wasn't me, it was God that wanted me to pray for her, and he'll do the work. It's not for me to heal. I don't do the healing, I just bring healing to her, and then God does the work. Do I hear an amen? You see, we don't heal anybody, it's Jesus that heals anybody. Doctors don't really heal anybody, it's Jesus that heals people. It's the healing power of God. He made us. He can put us back together. Amen? That's the way it is. Now, you start seeing yourself praying for the sick and all this kind of thing, casting out spirits from people, you know. You know, there's reasons why people don't come to Christ. You say, I just don't understand. This is such a good person. And I don't understand why this person can't see what I see and see the need for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times it's because they have spirits.
That's right.
That need to be cast out. Are you listening to me? This is important. You need to know this. And sometimes when those spirits are gone, then they'll come to Christ. And you say, well, you know, you just don't go up and start doing this stuff. You ask permission to do it. You have to have the person's permission to do these things. And they may not understand it all. They don't have to. God does. Now, you see the blind person receiving their sight. You see a deaf person. You know, we all have different gifts. Some people have a gift of touching blind eyes and they see. Anybody can pray for the blind, but some people seem to have that gift of just being able to do it. Some people have a gift of putting their fingers in somebody's ears and they can hear. Well, how do you know? You do it. You pray for people. You do these things. And, you know, it's up to God as to the results. It's not up to us. We're the ones that, we're the channel of the blessing of God. Some people not be healed because you're the one to pray for them. Are you listening to me? You see, they say, well, you know, everybody and their brother prayed for me. If that's all right, God wants me to pray for you. And you pray for them, they get well. And you say, my goodness, you see, I was supposed to do that. I was supposed to do that. And some people think you only do this in church. The saddest thing I think I ever saw was a 16-year-old boy, tall boy. He was about a foot and a half taller than me. And he had cancer. And he was in his home, and he was in a wheelchair, and somebody asked me to go pray for him. I didn't know him. I knocked on the door, asked if I could pray for him. They said yes. Been all kinds of people in there praying for him. And I talked to him about Jesus. And he had been taught that you don't do anything concerning God unless you're in church. So he wouldn't accept Jesus because he wasn't in church. Isn't that sad? He was supposed to receive Christ. But he'd been taught that. Church is where you get the power and then you go out and do it. Are you listening to me? We have some idea we only do these things in church. Well, some churches don't even do the things in the church. But the issue is we're not any better. It's just that God maybe put a little more responsibility on us, you see, because he's opened up the scriptures to us. And if he opens up the scriptures, then you are to do what he says. And I am to do what he says. It's just that simple. You put God first. You keep on thanking God. You're praising and worshiping the Lord. You're in the Word of God. You're seeing it in your imagination. You're seeing it in your heart. And you'll be walking down the road and God will fix your eyes on somebody. It might be in Walmart. It might be someplace else. He'll fix your eyes on somebody. You're supposed to pray for that person. And so you ask them. If they say no, fine. You can say a little prayer as you're walking away, whatever. But the issue is you do what Jesus said. Now, if Jesus tells you to do something, guess what? He's going to do something through you. Whatever it is, you may not see it. You may be after you're gone. There's been great healing campaigns, and sometimes people are healed coming to the meeting. Sometimes people are healed in the meeting. Sometimes people are healed 2 weeks after the meeting. That's God's business. Our business is to see to it. That what's the healing designed for? To bless people and bring them to Jesus. That's the point of the whole thing. It's not to put on a show. It's not that we're anything. It's not to make us anything at all, but it's to make Jesus everything. Hallelujah. You see, that's the issue. And all kinds of things can take the place of Christ in your life. I mean, you can think of it. It can take the place of Jesus. Now, if you meditate on the Word of God, you're going to be more wise than your teachers. The Word of God promises that. Your spirit will begin to open up. Your eyes will start seeing spiritual things that you never saw before. You're going to be speaking things out of your mouth, and there's going to be things in your heart that were not there before. You got to see it on the inside, and then you'll see it on the outside. Are you listening? You see, he says, chew on the Word of God. You know, several times in the Bible, God did some weird things. He told the prophets, he said, take the that page, that scroll, and eat it. Eat it. So it'll become a part of you, you see. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. If we're not in the Word, we're not going to be in the plan of what God wants to do. Look in Joshua 1:8, Old Testament. Joshua is right after Deuteronomy. It's the sixth book in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. If you're still there, say amen. All right. Joshua 1:8. Now, it says this all over the Bible. It says it every place. You just see it time after time. And people read this and they just kind of go over it and say, oh, that's nice. And they're going to get their reading done for the day. What you ought to do is to get your reading done for the day. Stop right here and meditate on this verse. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. I say all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You can't have success in God's eyes without the Word of God. It's impossible. You have to have the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. And observe to do all that is written therein. And so on. Have I not commanded you? And then God encouraged him and he went in and took Jericho. Hallelujah. And started taking the things that God had for them. We're to meditate on the Word of God. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You know, it really gets down to detail here. Go to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians, we're going New Testament. It's all over the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Don't do what I just did, 1 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. And it says, well, let's start in 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's fleshly, that's man without God. Too many of us come to church and then we live like we don't know God the rest of the week. Are you listening? We ought to be growing in Christ during the week and coming on Sunday and shouting hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, there it is. That's the strongholds, the imaginations that the enemy builds up in your life that you meditate on all the time other than the Word of God. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You can control what you think. You can control what's on your imagination. You can control what you're concentrating on. You can, you are to control these things. Don't just think on negative things and say, well, my mind's thinking on negative things. You know, that's true. And you can think about, as I said, the potholes you just passed 2 miles back and not see what's going on in front of you. Many people go through life looking in the rearview mirror. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. The best is yet to come, according to the Word of God. And Jesus is coming. He's the best. The best is yet to come. So these things tell us to meditate, to do all of these things in the Word of God. The Word of God gives you understanding. It opens up your heart to Him. It does all of these things. And then doing it, when you do it, then God will give you more understanding. And then you do it, and God will give you more understanding. One of the reasons some people never progress because they've never done what God put in their heart to do. And so they don't go any further than that point. It's like they quit growing right there. And too many have quit growing right there. God, you can grow in the Lord right at the time He takes you, and then you're really going to grow, you see. Then you're really going to get going. Now, look in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, it's interesting. I didn't know why at the time, but God had me memorize this as when I became a new Christian. He just put my mind on this thing and wouldn't let me get off of it. And it says, Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, and the purpose of the Proverbs is in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction and to receive the words of understanding. To receive the words of understanding. And it goes on. But that's what the Proverbs are for. The Proverbs absolutely revolutionized my son. He went from C's to straight A's. He wasn't doing anything different than he did before. Maybe he studied a little more. But God put that on his heart to do it. And look in Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll start reading about verse 4. Well, let's just start. My son, if thou will receive my words and lay up my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear into wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I said, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Some people never find the knowledge of God because they're not in the Word of God. And so you don't have the Word of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. I like that part. He's a shield to those that walk uprightly. And you can go on and read that and just go on and on with it. I'm just going to close here shortly. But I just want to get into, you know the difference between you and an animal? An animal has no understanding. An animal has no understanding. They can't control his thoughts. They have instincts. They can't create. An animal cannot create. An animal can only do what it's designed to do. That's why you and I are different. And if we get into the things of God, then what he has will become part of it. Do you know that really, if you're filled with the Word of God, you're not going to sin? It tells us in the book of James why people sin. Because they put their focus on something that's wrong, they think about it, they meditate on it, and they do it. Are you listening to me? If you're meditating on the things of God, you're not going to sin. You just won't do it. You won't do some of the things you did before. Now, I want to go back again and review this quickly. Number one, God has to be first. He has to be number one. And by putting him number one, you're going to be in the Word of God. You're going to have to shut off the TV. You're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to get in the Word of God. I didn't say that you don't watch any of it. I said, get in the Word of God. Do that first. When I got up this morning, I got in the Word of God. Before I ever got into what I was going to preach, I always go over what I'm going to say. But I get in some scripture first, because I want to focus on God. And then when I do that, then God takes what I have prepared and starts making it usable for every single person that's here today, because I don't know exactly who's going to be here every time, but God does. And so he prepares this word for you. I'm only a vessel of God, and he prepares it through me. I give this word. It is for you. You cannot change your behavior until you change your heart. It's impossible. Right. I'm going to say it again. You can't change your behavior until you change your heart. It doesn't make any difference you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to get rid of anger. It's all the same thing, you see. And so these four keys are important. Put God first. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful instead of complaining all the time about anything and everything. You know, you can go through life seeing good or you can go through life seeing bad. You can pick out every bad thing about somebody else or yourself and dwell on that, you see. So it depends on what you put into your mind, what you put into your heart. Be thankful. Fill your mind and imagination with the things of God. And then when you meditate on the Word of God, your heart's going to be full of life instead of darkness. And you're going to be wiser than your instructors, and you're going to be able to say, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then number two, do the works of God. Where does it start? Starts in your family, to your friends, to the church, to the lost people. You do the works of God. If you believe that, say amen. Let's stand before the Lord.